from Sportsnet and ESPN, Mr. Dan Schulman, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Between you and Friedman, I think you guys are my two favorite guests.
Wow.
Yeah. That's thanks. Listen, it's me saying it, so I don't know if you should feel good about
that. That's, I consider the source.
Yeah. But thanks for doing this. Before we get to Jay's White Sox three-game set, which starts tonight in Chicago, I wanted to ask you about the NBA draft, your thoughts. Some people say Ben Simmons, high probability of being a bust. He goes number one. However, he's a high probability of being an impact player for a long time. How do these draft rankings work, and do you agree with the sequence of who was drafted by and large in the first round?
By and large, I mean, Simmons and Ingram were always seen as 1-2 and probably in that order. I don't think he's going to be a bust. I'm not sure he's going to be a star, though. I mean, Ben Simmons, he's a really unusual mix of skills. He's 6'10", great rebounder, great passer, like a great passer. He can't make a jump shot. And I mean, he can't make a jump shot. I don't mean a three. I mean like a 15-foot jump shot. And he's going to have to get a lot better at that. At LSU, sometimes he was accused of not having enough of a motor, not demanding the ball enough, not getting down in the post and banging and scoring in the post enough. I think he's got a chance to be really, really good, but I don't think he's a lock as an all-star. Ingram is a fascinating guy, 6'9", like Kevin Durant, skinny, even skinnier than that maybe. But stronger than he looks, he can shoot the three, he can drive. I think his upside is actually higher than that of Simmons. And if I had had the first pick, I would have been really conflicted on this. I don't think this was a banner draft. I think there are a lot of players who have a chance to be pretty good NBA players, some really good NBA players. But right at the top of the draft, I'm not sure this was a terrific NBA draft.
Yeah, Raptors, I think a lot of people tried to get out of the lottery as well and plan for next year because of that. But Toronto had the 9 pick speculation as to what they might do with it, ended up by taking Jakob Poeltl. What do you know about him?
I like the pick. I think he's a safe, solid, fundamentally sound pick. I mean, I think we all know Biombo's not coming back. They've got a lot of guards. They've got a lot of wings. They need some big guys. He's 7'1". He's got good hands, good feet. He works hard. I think he's a smart guy, a hardworking guy, a good teammate. You've seen the interviews. I think he comes across well in the interviews. He could have come out after his freshman season, decided to go back, play another year at Utah to improve his skill set, which I think was a mature decision. I know they've talked about him maybe playing at the four some. I don't quite see that yet. I think he's a five. I think he steps into Biombo's role. He's not the same kind of player as Biombo. You're not going to get finger wagging and block shots and stuff like that. You're going to get a guy who can catch and go in the post and score and pass out of the post and that sort of thing. But I think he's got a chance to be a nice player.
The Raptors also almost had a really serious decision to make yesterday.
Yes,
because Jamal Murray, I had heard earlier in the day, Eric Smith was saying, hey, listen, he heard someone in the hotel saying he wouldn't get past Boston at 3, then 4, then 5, then 6, and Denver's pick at 7. And he eventually went to Denver. But 2 picks after that, there are the Raptors waiting in the wings. What would they have done had he slipped to 9?
It's a great question. And if you can give Masai Ujiri some truth serum and ask him, I'd love to hear. Because obviously the whole country would have been screaming for them to take him. But they have strength at his positions, which is the 1 and the 2. He can play both spots. I don't think they would have felt compelled to take him. I think maybe they would have considered trading the pick if he had been there, trading the pick to somebody who wanted him, going down 2, 3, 4 spots and still getting a big guy they wanted, plus maybe getting something else. But it would have been a PR nightmare, and unfairly to the Raptors. You shouldn't have to take a guy just because he comes from the area. I mean, that's not the way it works. You want to take the best player available in the need that you have. I think they're probably happy that he was taken beforehand because it made their decision a lot easier.
As much college hoops as you've watched, real quick, who do you think won the draft yesterday? If you were to say someone got the steal of the draft, who would it have been?
I love Chris Dunn, who went 5th. He's a big, tough, strong, smart point guard. I think he is going to be a star, and I don't think it's going to take very long. Now, he played 4 years, and some people kind of have a bias against 4-year players. But, Minnesota, they draft a point guard every year, it seems like. But I love Chris Dunn. I think he's got everything you need to be a terrific NBA player. And maybe later in the first round, there's a guy, and maybe because I saw him a million times, everybody says Denzel Valentine's not an NBA caliber athlete. I think he's I think he's great. I think he was the best player on Michigan State for the last couple of years. He can play three different positions, shoot, pass, great leadership ability. I think it might take him 2 or 3 years, but I think he's got a chance to be a terrific player. Chicago getting him at the 14th pick.
Switching gears, Dan, Jays in Chicago tonight. Chicago has been reeling for the past month, month and a half. They put together a few nice games and a couple of nice wins in Boston. What do we expect tonight? I think they get Rondon tonight. They usually crush lefties, not so much with the White Sox last time they played.
Yeah, I would recommend they win the first two because Chris Sale's going on Sunday. So not that anything's automatic, but he's about as close as it gets in the American League. So if they can pick on Rodon and Gonzalez over the next 2 days, that would be advisable. It's kind of an interesting time for them. They're out of the American League East now for a month after it seems like they've played nothing but American League East teams the entire season. You know, encouraging with Tulowitzki swinging the bat better. Obviously, Encarnacion and Donaldson on fire. Carrera doing a nice job with Bautista out. Cecil on rehab now, maybe getting close. You know, they've got a month to show management, hey, we're in it. Go make a trade or two and help the team out a little bit. So I think every game is crucial. They're right there within striking distance of first place. And this this Chicago-Colorado road trip is a time for them to, you know, hopefully get 4 out of 6 and inch a little bit closer to first place.
Dan, you mentioned the name Troy Tulowitzki. His last 15 games, 3 home runs, hitting .309 with a .356 on base. How much more of this Troy Tulowitzki do we need to see before we can start to say, hey, that's the Troy Tulowitzki we thought we were getting all along?
I think a fair bit. I mean, I don't know if Toronto fans are ever going to see the Tulowitzki of Colorado. He has had a couple of injuries. He's a year older, and he's not in Colorado. Look at any Colorado player, and the numbers go down when they leave Colorado because it's the best hitter's park in baseball year after year. So I don't think they need him to hit, you know, be a 320, 30-homer guy, but if he can be a 275, 20-25 homer guy, that's pretty good. That's a lot better than Jose Reyes, and the defense is a lot better than Jose Reyes. So I just think they need him to be a guy, you know, a productive guy in the lineup. He doesn't need to be the main guy, but if he can chip in when the opportunities present itself, that really deepens the lineup. You know, him and Russell Martin hitting, in my mind, are what turn a good lineup into a great lineup. It's getting production down in the 6 and 7 spots, stuff like that, Smoke contributing as well. So I don't think, you know, psychologically Blue Jays fans are out of the woods yet with Tulowitzki, but yeah, it is nice to see him swinging the bat well the last couple of weeks.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, the emergence of Michael Saunders, who's been, you know, let's face it, he's been the Toronto Blue Jays' best player. Offensively, specifically, he's been outstanding, you know, a wonderful revelation. You know, and Blair said the other day, if he would have thought he'd been any better than a spot starter for this team and a guy that might have a nice little comeback season and platoon at that position, but he's been their best offensive player. And Josh Donaldson's starting to turn it up. Ezekiel Carrera plays a really, really nice right field, and he hits for average. He's got a little bit of power as well. And I put this to these guys, the way that Jose Bautista has swung the bat, not hitting for average. He's had a few, he's got 12 home runs on the season, and he's not really a plus defender anymore. Is there any possibility at all that Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins are looking at Jose Bautista at all, saying, hey, listen, we might not get this guy back. If we're going to get better and stock the prospect cupboard, this might be the most attractive piece that we can move.
To trade him this year, you mean, July? I don't think so for a couple of reasons. One, he's a 10-5 guy. They would need his approval to trade him. They can't trade him without his approval. He and Encarnacion both have 10-5, which means 10 years in the majors, 5 with their current team. I don't think they'll trade him this season, but I think there's a high likelihood he's not with the team next season. You know, unless his demands have come down, and he's, you know, he's talked about it a little bit. You know, there have been little smoke signals that he's maybe willing to, you know, think about less or want to stay in Toronto more. But I don't think they trade him this year. I think they value the power. I think they value the on-base percentage. And I think they kind of value the competitive spirit and the experience and having been there before. I mean, he is the guy who hit the home run heard around the world last October. So, I think they're always a little worried about maybe Saunders, you know, a hamstring or something. It's hard for him to stay healthy historically. So I don't think it happens this year. But going into next year, you know, all bets are off. Saunders is a free agent as well. I mean, there are going to be a lot of changes or a lot of big decisions to be made on this team after the season.
The other thing I wanted to ask you is Edwin now leads the American League in RBIs. He is in fuego, as they say in Spanish, yeah, and he's on one of those tears. Is there more urgency to sign him, or maybe, you know, let's try and really make a concerted effort to get this done?
I think they would like to have him back. I think they they could get him for less money and fewer years than Bautista. And Encarnacion's already content being a DH for the most part, so they don't have to worry about that. It wouldn't, if they announced soon that they had signed him to a two-year deal or a three-year deal, it wouldn't shock me. I don't think it's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me. It would shock me if they announced that Bautista has been signed to a three- or four-year contract extension. I think there's a decent chance Encarnacion comes back, but if I'm Edwin and David Ortiz is retiring and the Boston Red Sox need a DH, why don't I go to free agency and at least hear what they have to say?
Stop doing that. Don't do that to us again.
So I'm not your second favorite guest anymore?
Yeah, you totally are. You totally are.
Somebody's got to be the voice of reason. Just saying, if I'm Edwin, I at least want to take the phone call from Dave Dombrowski and take the phone call from Mark Shapiro and then think about it. I think Edwin's in a pretty good spot right now.
Where are you this weekend?
Pittsburgh. I have the Dodgers and Pirates, and it looks like Clayton Kershaw's on the mound for the Dodgers Sunday night, so that's fun.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you have a great weekend, Dan. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys.